Well, it's good to see everybody out this evening. Hope everybody had a good nap this afternoon. We all did it, probably. Well, we're still doing, at least on these Sunday nights that I'm speaking, whereas Rick is doing a much better in-depth study on Sunday mornings on the life of Christ. We've kind of been doing an overview on Sunday nights and kind of drawing in a lot of different sources to include in on these lessons. So maybe they're not so much as sermons, I guess, as maybe presentations. I don't really know exactly what to call these Sunday nights lessons. But we've been talking about the life of Christ. And last week when we finished off, Jesus had been taken to the house of Caiaphas. And there they had had sort of a mock trial for Jesus. We call it a mock trial. It was a very real trial for them and for Jesus, where they found Jesus guilty of blasphemy. That was going to be a pretty hard charge to get Rome to want to execute a person for. Just didn't really necessarily care about that per se. So they had some work to still do. And so they take Jesus to Pilate. And that's sort of where we left it off. And that's where we'll pick up. Of course, Pilate was the Roman governor of what was called the imperial province of Judea. And again, that was Pontius Pilate that was over that. And then Pilate was sort of over that area from about AD 26 until AD 36. And if you kind of remember when we talked about Herod, you'll remember that Herod the Great, he had a really big kingdom within the province of Judea. And once Herod the Great died, his kingdom got broken up into a couple of different pieces. And one of his sons was named Herod Archelaus, and he was given control of Judea. And if you'll also remember, Herod Archelaus, he was the Herod that Joseph and Mary and Jesus were trying to avoid when they came back from Egypt to go back to their home in Nazareth. And so Herod Archelaus, he had a reputation of being a pretty bad guy, a real vicious and brutal type ruler. And eventually, Rome finally hears the pleas of the people, and they send Herod Archelaus into exile in about AD 6. And then after that time, Judea was known as the imperial province of Judea of Rome with a prefect. That's a pretty good long name. You wouldn't want to have to write that for your address, would you? And a prefect, that was basically somebody who had been selected by the Roman government to govern that particular area or that particular province. And scholars tell us that in the Roman world, there are two types of provinces. There was a senatorial province, and then there was an imperial province. And a senatorial province was an area that was governed by the Roman Senate. And many of these senatorial provinces were located pretty close to Rome, and several of them were along the Mediterranean Sea. And for the most part, people in senatorial provinces, they didn't cause a whole bunch of trouble, right? They had already been sort of assimilated into Roman life. They kind of liked it. And so there was a little bit of a military presence, but not a very big military presence in the senatorial provinces. The other, on the other hand, the imperial provinces were under the direct command of Caesar, who would then appoint a representative of himself for that particular province. Typically, and we've talked about this before, an imperial province had about 5,000 soldiers stationed there, maybe more, depending on the citizens. Some imperial provinces were granted a level of autonomy, but still they had to be governed by a prefect, someone who, again, was selected by Caesar to sort of be sure that things went the way that they were supposed to go, at least for Rome. And again, Judea was one of these imperial provinces. Luke chapter 3, verse 1 tells us that it was governed by Pontius Pilate. We also learn there in Luke 3 that Caesar at the time was a man by the name of Tiberius. And so Caesar Tiberius, that's who Caesar was. Pontius Pilate was the actual Roman that's in charge of the area during this time. And so Pilate was born a Roman citizen, and he had accumulated a little bit of wealth, probably a significant amount of wealth. Scholars tell us that Pilate's Roman position and social position was an equestrian. And equestrians were a step below the senators. And so again, Pilate had wealth. He did have some position as the governor of the imperial province of Judea, and he did have some power. But Pilate did not like, by all accounts, being in Jerusalem. He lived in Caesarea. And Caesarea, which was along the Mediterranean Sea, and it had a much greater Rome feel to it. I mean, just the name of it. Caesarea has the name of Caesar in the town's name. And so Pilate would only come to Jerusalem when it was absolutely necessary. And Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread, for him, unfortunately, was one of them times where he thought it was necessary to be in Jerusalem. And we sort of talked about this a little bit last week. Jerusalem at this time is estimated to have about 80,000 residents at the time. But during Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread, that could swell to as many as 300,000 people. And so Pilate wanted to be sure, sort of to be there to keep things under control, to avoid riots and if anything like that, or if anything seemed to sort of be getting out of hand, he wanted to be there, and he wanted his soldiers to sort of snuff that sort of stuff out pretty quickly. So the Jewish leaders, they take Jesus to Pilate after they've been to the house of Caiaphas with the charge of blasphemy. They come to Pilate's palace, and in Matthew chapter 27 and Mark 15 sort of gives us some pretty concise terms about what happens in this process. The interaction between Jesus and the religious leaders and Pilate. Pilate asks Jesus a few questions, and he hears the answers, and he doesn't really think that anything he's heard makes Jesus guilty. Certainly not guilty, worthy to be crucified. He offers, sort of in keeping with the custom of Passover, to release a prisoner to them. And he suggests a pretty good prisoner to have released to you would be this guy, Jesus. But the religious leaders, they don't buy that. They don't want that, and they start stirring up the crowd. And so the crowd starts calling for the release of Barabbas. And Barabbas was a rebel rouser. Barabbas was a terrorist. Barabbas did things that brought punishment on for the whole community, not just himself. But that's still who they ask for. They also stir up the crowd to call for not only Barabbas to be released, but for Jesus to be crucified. And eventually, Pilate gives away to those wishes. He has Jesus scourged or beat with whips and then handed over to be crucified. And again, in Matthew and Mark, we get pretty a concise, short description of these events. Luke and John go into more details for us. Luke tells us that Pilate began to question Jesus, and when he learned that Jesus was from Galilee, Pilate sent him to Herod Antipas. It just happened that Herod Antipas was in Jerusalem because of the Passover, and this was a pretty good out for Pilate, right? He sort of, I don't have to deal with this. Some of his own people can handle this. I'll pass him off to the tetrarch of this region, and that's where his punishment will be decided. And so Herod Antipas, he listens to Jesus. We don't really have any idea of what his conclusion was, other than he simply sends him back to Pilate. And so Pilate goes out again before the crowd, and he says, sort of, I've talked to Jesus, I've talked to Herod Antipas, he's talked to Jesus as well. Neither one of us think that this guy is guilty. But again, he says, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll punish Jesus. I'll have him flogged, which basically means he's going to have him beat, and then I'll release him. But the crowd is bent on crucifixion. And so Luke 23 tells us that Pilate, although he didn't want to have Jesus crucified, he suggests letting Jesus be the prisoner that was released, but they're not going to have that. And so Pilate relents and gives the order to have Jesus crucified. And in the Gospel of John, we get a lot of those same details. But there's some verses in John chapter 19, verses 1 through 16. And just look particularly at verse 12, John 19, verse 12. And this is the people speaking to Pilate. And it says, "From then on, Pilate sought to release him, but the Jews cried out, 'If you release this man, you are not Caesar's friend. Everyone who makes himself a king opposes Caesar.'" And sort of this far removed on the 21st century American, some of these words might just kind of not be fully grasped by us with their significance. But scholars say that those words, "you are no friend of Caesar," were very significant. And so just kind of talk about that for a minute. I think the term, I'm probably going to say it wrong, but it's amicus Caesaris, and that is a friend of Caesar. And that was an administrative title or a label that was sort of given an official, a Roman official, who was, as it says, a friend of Caesar. And if that was your title, that was good news for you, because you were going to have a pretty great career. Now, on the other hand, if you had that title and you lost it, that meant your career was over. And there was a really obvious example of this. About 8 years or so prior to Jesus being arrested, there was a man by the name of Cornelius Gallus. And Cornelius Gallus was the governor of the Roman province of Egypt. The previous Caesar, not Tiberius, but Caesar Augustus, had taken that title away from Cornelius Gallus. And he took that title away because he didn't think Cornelius Gallus was showing enough gratitude to him. Now let that sink in. He didn't appreciate the emperor enough. And once that title was taken away, Cornelius Gallus lost his job. Now don't mishear me. He was not demoted. He wasn't transferred to another unit or another department. He was out. He lost his job, and he would not get another job within the Roman Empire because of this. He lost his social position. Now he was also an equestrian like Pilate was, which meant he did have some accumulated wealth, but without a job and no way to make money, that gets burnt through pretty quick. And so he loses his social position. In addition, he's forbidden from entering the imperial court, and so he couldn't go in any imperial province. Basically, Cornelius Gallus was blacklisted because he was no friend of Caesar. And so scholars tell us in AD 26, Cornelius Gallus committed suicide. And you know, Roman officials like Pontius Pilate knew about this. And apparently these Jewish leaders might have known about it as well, because when Pilate isn't going to do what they say, that's sort of the card that gets played. If you don't want Jesus to be crucified, you want another king other than Caesar? And certainly Pilate didn't want that to be misconstrued. Pilate understood that the Jewish leaders were not the ones to make that determination necessarily. That determination would be made by Caesar. But really, just having your name attached to that expression, that you are no friend of Caesar, that was enough to convince Pilate that this guy, Jesus, was not going to be worth it for him. And so Pilate had a decision: the life of Jesus or my career. And Pilate chose his career, and he handed over Jesus to be executed. And so maybe we don't have a condemned man standing next to us, but what do you choose? Do you choose Jesus, or do you choose your career? And again, we don't ever have a condemned standing next to us, but I think we make a similar choice or decision maybe every day that we've chosen to follow Jesus. Do we follow Jesus, or do we follow self? And that's probably a question that has to be answered every day. And next week, or in a few weeks, we'll pick up again. I'm right there with the actual crucifixion of Jesus and maybe the resurrection. We'll just see how far we get. And so tonight, if anyone is here that needs to be baptized, that you have made that decision, that you came here tonight and are intent on doing that, we are more than prepared for you to do that. The baptismal waters are ready for you to make that choice. If you're here tonight and you would like to have something addressed publicly by the congregation, now too would be an opportune time to come, as together we